and Trish, great friend of mine and friends, and I've known Randy a long time, and he's always been there when I need him, and he's here this morning to present what how the Lord's going to use him now going forward. So, Randy, come up.
Thank you all for being here, and we are thrilled to be here. Just want to open with prayer, and I'm going to ask my wife to open us in prayer.
Well, Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for this opportunity to share the ministry that you put on our hearts to
Lord.
Do in this community and to share your love with this congregation today. We thank you for Pastor Darwin inviting us here to speak.
Amen.
And we do pray for him and his wife, Father. We pray for healing in their bodies. And we pray that you'd touch them physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way.
Amen.
Bring encouragement to them today and bring that healing. Let it be manifested quickly in their bodies from head to toe, Lord. Let, from head to toe, do a deep work there, God. And we thank you for it. And we pray for others that are suffering as well, Lord, that, that you would meet them where they're at, God, and that you would bring healing. Bring healing to our country,
Lord.
As well, Lord. Our our country needs healed spiritually, most of all, but physically as well. And we pray, Father God, that you would do a work in our community, in our country, in our lives individually. And you would help us to all purpose ourselves in your presence to do the work that you've called us to do, whatever that looks like.
Mm.
And we ask you to give us the words today to share the vision you put on our hearts and the anointing would come, and we thank you for it. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way today in the house of God. And we love you, Lord, and we give you all the glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. As we said, it's an honor, truly, from our hearts to be here and share. And I just want to start out by saying that the ministry that the Lord has called us into is something we've been doing like the whole time in ministry, only we're doing more as far as reaching the one lost sheep. It's something that the Lord just compels us by his love, and beyond that, it's totally him. All that we are is willing. It's his love that compels us. And I want to start out saying that because sometimes you could feel very awkward, even though the Holy Spirit could stir in your heart to share with someone. You might feel very awkward about it, or, you know, you might feel you're not qualified or whatever. Neither are we. You know, I don't think any of us are. It's the Lord working in us and through us. And I guess we wanted to do more because, as we can all see, we're drawing closer to the Lord coming back. And we truly want to reach as many as possible. And so as the Lord stirred this in our hearts over a couple years ago, we've spent that long praying about it. And we wanted to step out. And so that's what we have done. And in a way of helping all churches, all but Bible-believing churches, for people that maybe have drifted or fallen away. When the Lord first stirred this in our hearts, there wasn't anything going on until last March when it made more sense that he wanted us to go out reaching and saving that one lost sheep, just as Jesus said. And so then as you fast forward that to March and see everything that's happened and people not in churches like they used to be. And then the longer that goes, the harder it is at times to get them back. And so by the grace of God, we feel the Holy Spirit leading us to help with all churches, whoever the lost sheep are that have not come back or that have never come to begin with, and that we can come alongside of them. And come with them to church, whether it be here or another church, that And then after a couple weeks of doing that, we think we can back up and go to other lost sheep because they get reconnected. And that's what the Lord's put within our heart. And I want you to understand that God is, he's concerned about the lost. He's so concerned about the lost. And it's totally him that's continuing to put a brokenness within us when we look around. Hell is a very real place. And when people don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're headed there. It doesn't matter how bad a person might have been. It doesn't matter how good a person may seem. They both need Jesus. And so, our hope and prayer today is not only to share with you the rest of our vision, but that we are his hands, his feet, his voice. And sometimes things in the world is so noisy nowadays and chaotic that they're not hearing the voice of the Lord. And it's all the more reason for you and I together to come together and advance the kingdom of God. And the ways we are attempting to do that is by having gatherings. We've had some gatherings out at our home where they feel neutral, grant, you know, not in a church, but then our desire is to get them into a church. And I'll let my wife share a little bit on things now, and then we'll just kind of tag team.
First of all, we got some of these with, if you're interested, take them on with you. It's the brochures we had made up, and our name of our ministry is Saving One Lost Sheep. We kind of thought the title was long, so we re-abbreviated it. If you take the first letter of each word, it spells Souls Ministry, and what is missing? The U. You are missing. So we call it Souls Ministry, but the goal is saving one lost sheep. And this describes it a little bit, but we'll go over some of the details on it. And it comes down to Luke 15, verse 3 through 7. It said, Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And, you know, our goal in doing this, he was sharing a little bit about it. We have some gatherings at our house because we want to reach out to people that some people that have been offended in the church and they don't go, or they just never step their foot in a church because they're afraid the building's going to fall down. You hear them kind of comments all the time. So people sometimes just don't want to go to church. And so we know Jesus loves them, and we want to share the love of Christ with them.
Amen.
So our goal is to reach out to them and whoever it is. And you know, other people have friends. They might call us and want us to reach out to somebody. But we want to invite them and get them on neutral ground. And then as we're able to share the Lord Jesus with them, our goal is to help them get plugged into a church somewhere, wherever that is, wherever they feel
Amen.
Comfortable. And we would go alongside of them to help them. Because I know in my own walk, when I was pretty young in my walk with the Lord, I strayed for a while. I backslid. And it was really hard to go back once you do that, take that step. And I just think that when we can go along and say, okay,
Amen.
I know you've fallen away, I know you love the Lord, but you know, you need to get back in church where you can have fellowship and encouragement from other people, and we would love to go with you, you know, just to have somebody
yes.
do that. Sometimes that's all people need. They just need to know if somebody else cares about them and is willing to take that extra step. So that's part of our ministry, to do that.
And with that, you know, sometimes the Lord may put that in your heart. And believe me, I know from experience, it takes courage in doing it. But Trisha shared something a while back with me that it so made sense. And she said, compassion creates courage. And I thought about that. It's so true, because that's how we're moved to do what we do, is because of our compassion, which we don't take credit for that. It's the Lord that put that within our heart. And to be honest with you concerning that, I have felt upset at the Lord at times over that, because my heart breaks over people not knowing Jesus. And I remember I had a pastor kind of rebuke me on that, because I told him that if it frustrated me that my heart broke and hurt that much, you know, that I didn't want to care as though they didn't care about themselves. Why should, you know, it's like, and he says, you need to thank the Lord that he put that compassion in your heart. And so that kind of just like, okay. It's like, and yeah, there's people that you might be around that might rub you the wrong way, but they are going to spend eternity somewhere. And I'm not used to having a bright light, right? It's like, but guess what? We Christians, the days we're living in now, we're in a bright light. People not walking with Jesus are watching you. They're listening. They're looking for hope, even though they may not tell you that. They're looking for hope. And is the light of Christ shining from us as bright as the light shining on us? No, it's what God has done is something inward. And sometimes we want the light, but yet the light that's shining is an outward light, but the inward light is not possible without us being broken over what breaks God's heart. And when it breaks God's heart, it should break your heart and my heart. And then the rejoicing. You know, sometimes I think we lose sight that the Lord Jesus himself said, all heaven rejoices over one coming to Jesus. Over one. And that one might not seem significant to you or I, but that one is someone's son or daughter, someone's mom or dad, someone's brother or sister. And when you or I can be used as a bridge, as a way of reaching out, the same way Jesus reached out to you and I with his nail-pierced hand, when everybody else might have walked out, he walked in. And that even when we mess up, he's not beating us. He's lifting us up out of the mud and miry pit, setting our feet on a rock, giving us a firm place to stand, putting joy in our hearts so that we can keep on doing what God wants. And when we look beyond whatever the temporary is and realize eternity is within us, what are we going to do when we stand before Jesus? When we can do all that we are able to do, wow, we can look ahead and think what a day that will be when we see Jesus face to face. And believe me, we're not expressing this as like, okay, we got all the answers. We only got one answer, and he has all the rest. You know, it's like there's many questions that we have ourselves, but the one answer is Jesus. And people need that living hope these days. And as we see, it's very possible that it could be soon. I mean, we're praying not, but it could be soon where we're not even going to be able to mention the name of Jesus. If we're not mentioning his name now, what's it going to be like then? We need to ask him for the courage, that compassion, to move us. Jesus said he was moved with compassion. I'm so thankful he was moved to save me, aren't you?
Amen.
Aren't you? Amen. Hello? Amen. Amen.
The light is bright.
I know I was a wretch. All I got to do to see how amazing his grace is every day, look in the mirror. Woo! Guess what else is a mirror? Sometimes, you know, we can find people's faults, but when we look in here, I find my faults. And my wife said, amen.
I didn't say that. One of the things I would like to read to you, I have a couple things here just that the Lord's given us, and it helps to explain how we kind of feel and how we're called to be ambassadors. I want to read the scripture, but first I'm going to read this to you. This is out of a Tony Evans book. It's called Ambassadors for Christ. I used to love the television show Charlie's Angels. Anybody remember that one? Okay, that was a good one for me too. I liked it. It says, first there was a TV show, and then there were Charlie's Angels movies. These three young ladies would go in harm's way for Charlie. What's interesting is that they never, ever seen Charlie. Charlie was invisible to them, yet they were willing to do his bidding. They would get a call and receive information about what Charlie wanted them to do.
Yeah.
They would go out to represent Charlie's interest, even though it meant difficult times for them. They were Charlie's angels. The word angel in the Bible means messenger. The Greek word is angelos. It means to be a messenger for someone else. Now, if invisible Charlie could get three ladies to go in harm's way for a man they had never seen, how much more should Jesus' angels or messengers, we, for Jesus Christ, be willing to go in harm's way to represent somebody they've never seen? Even though we haven't seen him, we should be ready to fulfill his mission. Amen. And share his love with others.
Amen.
So we are called to be ambassadors, and this is the part of our, the big part of our ministry that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It reads, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord,
amen,
we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. Mm. And if we're in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since
amen,
we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So I'm going to jump down to verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave this wonderful message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors, God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So we're called,
amen,
to be his ambassadors. We're called to bring people to him, and all of us, that's just a Christian's duty.
Amen.
And I believe that in the times that we're living, because the world has gotten pretty dark, I believe that the enemy is doing everything I like that song we sang about joy, okay, a little while ago.
Amen.
Everything the enemy's trying to do is what? Steal a Christian's joy.
Yeah.
Because what happens when your joy tank is empty? You feel defeated. You feel angry. You feel depressed. You feel all these other things. And that's what the enemy is after, our joy. Because the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength.
Amen.
That's what empowers us to do what we need to do. And so I was thinking when I was singing that song, I was thinking about David, King David, when he had just come back from battle, and he had won the victory. Well, he was so excited. The joy of the Lord was all over him. He stripped off his kingly garments. The Bible says he dressed naked. That means he just took off his kingly garments, and he was like a regular person.
Amen.
And he danced before the Lord because he was so excited.
Amen.
He danced in the presence of the Lord. His wife was embarrassed. My husband's doing that. Have you ever been embarrassed of your spouse? Sometimes we do get that way. Anyhow, the Lord shut her womb because she was embarrassed of her husband dancing in all of his might. But you know what? That was God-given David, compassion and love,
amen,
from above to do what he wanted him to do. He didn't care what anybody thought. Sometimes we all care about what everybody else thinks, and so we don't do what God calls us to do.
Yeah.
But God wants us to dig deep within ourselves and see who we really are and be all that he's called us to be, because there are so many people that are out there that are lost, that need to see the love of Christ, that need to see Jesus in us. In the times we're living, we have to dig hard into the scriptures. We have to go and have our time with the Lord, because otherwise we will be joyless and defeated. And that's what the enemy is after. That's what he wants to do more than anything. Keep the joy tank empty. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's what empowers us to do what we can't
Amen.
Do on our own.
Amen. And I was thinking about something when Tricia said that, that a couple that we've just, well, we like just that they're very encouraging to us, and a couple named Kim and Cindy, and just they don't live around here. But he made a point of saying how, you know, he was very touched that we care about one. Like, you know, many times it's multitudes of people, but just caring about one, and how that touched his heart. And we, that touched our hearts hearing him say that. And I guess what I'm, you know, another thing is in us being here is not in any way to boast of what we're doing. We don't want it to come across that way. We cannot keep from doing what we're doing. I mean, it's just, I mean, unless we just turn and totally walk away from Jesus. It's all glory and honor to him. It's not us trying to do something to gain brownie points. He's compelling us to do it. And so we're asking for your prayers, for your support, because it could be your neighbor, it could be your coworker, it could be a family member of yours that we reach out to. And we are just here, I mean, as Pastor Darwin heard, when we do our pastor's prayer meetings every week, and that was when we shared with all the pastors at the prayer meeting what the Lord's, and they were so, you know, encouraging and thankful, and that's how Pastor Darwin invited us. And so we do count it an honor to share with you our vision, but we need your prayers. We need, you know, it's not anything the enemy likes in what we're doing. You know, the enemy wants to keep people blinded. He wants to keep them, you know, without realizing they need Jesus. And I want to share something that Tony Evans had told us about one of his kids. They were having a family trip, and they were at Disney World. And his youngest child at that time, I don't remember how old, four, maybe 5 years old. I don't recall how old. But all at once, they realized they'd lost their child. He called security. They shut down the park, and him and his wife, they, you know, needless to say, they were just, and all at once he found him. And when he went up to him, he was watching some amusement, you know, it was like, and then what Tony Evans got out of that was he said, he didn't even know he was lost. Mm-hmm. He was so consumed with having fun that he didn't even know he was in danger. And, you know, Tony, they grabbed him, they hugged him, they put, you know, and sometimes that happens with you and I when you know, when we're sharing with someone and all at once the blinders are lifted and they realize then the hug and the brokenness and the tears and, you know, it's like the celebration that's going on. And sometimes, though, the world has so many pleasures to offer people to get straying from the things of the Lord. God is not against pleasure, or else he would not have created heaven for us. And it's going to be full of awesome things that the Lord would have. I mean, not, and it's not the blessings that we want, it's the blesser. When you have the blesser, you have everything. When people have just blessings, they could cause their hearts to be hardened and think they don't even need him. But we are all in need of him. And that's why we're here. And we want to make an impact in the community. Our time's running out. And always, I've told this to people, when sometimes they say, well, Maybe we're not as close to Jesus' return as you think we are. And my response to that is, every day we're getting closer to meeting Jesus. Because we could be going to see him instead of him returning. Either way, we're going to be meeting him. And he's done so much. Is there anything too much for him to ask of you and I?
Just say that the love of Christ is what compels us to do it, and to be obedient to the call. We don't know what he's got all in store, but we just want to be obedient and reach out to people and love them where they're at and share the love of Christ, because that's really what it's all about.
And
when you're passionate about whatever it is, I know you talked about sports earlier, people have passions, women like hobbies like crafting and
right.
scrapbooking and things like that, and you know, guys like their sports and different things. Whatever we're passionate about, we're going to go after, we're going to do it. And we share it with other people because we get excited about it.
Yeah.
We talk about it, right? Well, the most best thing you can be passionate about is about Jesus saving your soul.
Amen.
Saving me, a wretch like me. I'm on my way to heaven now. Thank you, God. You know, we want to share that with other people. And we want to take as
Amen.
Many people to heaven with us as we can. Amen.
Amen.
That's the goal.
Amen.
As a Christian.
And it's, you know, the passion that the Lord can put in your heart can cause you to do what you would never do. And yet, sometimes we see people within the world passionate about different things. But whatever the cause is, there is absolutely no greater cause than the cause of Christ. I mean, that surpasses everything. And yet, you know, where you're at in life, God can use you. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where somebody else you might know to where they came from or what they came out of. God is more concerned about where we are going than where we come from. And God, in turn, wants grace to be experienced. Grace, sometimes I think we limit God's grace. And I'm still learning that it's God's grace and God's goodness that works repentance in us. I mean, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, we all need much grace. I need much grace. And when we experience his grace and goodness, it helps us to love him more. And another reason that's so crucial is the Bible says in the end times, the love of many will grow cold. That scares me. I do not ever want my love for the Lord to diminish. I don't want it to cool off. And I ask him to protect my heart, to keep it full of love and passion for him. And I ask you to do the same. Because people can tell when you love. And that, again, makes an inroad where there might have been walls. And when we can do that, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, I believe it's going to make a difference in eternity. And plus within our community. And again, we're thankful for this honor. And I guess I do want to say, you know, just Tricia may have something else here before I pray. But God is wanting to give you more of the adventures and experience the love of Christ in ways that other people will see the Lord working in us and in you and in us together. Because it's going to take something to awaken people. When we fall in a slumber, it's easy to just get focused on what's going on with self. And, you know, there's many people that are lost and don't know they're lost. And it's not you and I beating them over the head with the Bible. It's us loving them right where they are, just as they are. Not us changing them, but us loving them. We'll always tell people, God accepts you and I as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. And God is amazing.
I was thinking about when you said that about the love of many will grow cold. And we can think, oh, no, I love the Lord. I'm good, you know, whatever. But what does that really look like, the love, that their love will grow cold? I was thinking about that when I even shared about the joy thing. You know, when our joy tank is empty, we're exalting other things in the world. We're not exalting God when we're doing that. We're exalting depression or discouragement, whatever it is. When we're so busy about our lives, our own daily lives, we're so busy with our families and the things that we've got going on that we don't look past the walls of that out in the community where people are lost. Is our love grown cold? I've had to repent of that. Life gets busy. It gets hard. We get discouraged. But if we don't keep our heart and examine our heart continually and repent when those things come up, our heart will grow cold. And that's just a fact. And I don't know about you, but I want a cold heart. I want a heart full of fire and love and passion and see my family and loved ones all in the kingdom, you know?
Amen.
That's what it's about. That's why we get saved. It's not just so we can say we got a ticket to heaven, you know? We got a job to do. We got work to do.
Amen.
We won't finish till we're standing there before Jesus. We're getting ready to go in those gates, you know? Then we'll have a different kind of work to do. We got to be working.
Yeah.
We got to work for the kingdom of God. We got to do our job. Amen.
Amen. And just let God lead you on whatever. If it's praying for us, man, please don't forget to pray for us. If it's giving any support, you know, just obey the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I'm just asking the Lord to, you know, have his way with whatever he wants to do. We don't know what the future holds, but we know that the Lord stirred in our hearts to do this, and it's something, and I'll close here in just a minute. It's something that God has done, because it's not just within our community that we want to do, but I mean, we do that wherever we go. I mean, it's not something separated from us. I remember when the ministry we do in Africa, been there several times, and I remember them saying how touched they were that we came all the way from America to there to do what we do. And it was like, when he said that, when I was like, no, think about this, how far we came, think about how far Jesus came from heaven to earth, so there would be a day he would seek us out, save us, and we would go from earth to heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that an awesome God? Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Lord, you are greater. You are, Lord, I just pray that we explained and shared our vision, how we just want to just advance your kingdom. How we, as I didn't mention it, but how we have like gatherings at our house and just wanting people to realize we meet people there, that, Lord, where it's like neutral ground, and that can open the door for us too. Not only bring them to you, but to bring them to church. Lord, wherever church they want to go, whatever Bible believing church within the community, that we will go with them and just help them to either get reconnected or get connected to begin with, whatever it may be. Lord, and help anyone here with, if they want to ask us questions afterwards, whatever it may be, that, Lord, you would move upon their hearts and help us to continue to share with them, as well as the honor and privilege that we have been given to share this today. Lord, we so want it to take root in their hearts for the benefit of their families, of their co-workers, of their neighbors, of family members, whatever it may be. Lord, that your love of Christ would compel us more and more for every person. And Lord, we would see doors opened to where you would lead us as well as every person in here. And Lord, may you move upon the hearts of each one here today and reveal whatever it is you want them to get out of this. Lord, may they be obedient to you. And Lord, we do love you because you first loved us. And we thank you for your patience with us. And Lord, have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And I do want to share something that there might be a point in time where we see you again. And I just wanted to tell you that you would not believe this, but yes, my wife and I have a little guy. We adopted him, and we are so very proud, and we love him so much, but we had no idea. That's what I'm telling you on the Lord's adventure. He was with our granddaughter the other night, so, Micah went to spend the night with her, even though he was her uncle, okay? It's like amazing. And sometime we want to be able to have Micah cut. I mean, he's just an amazing little boy, and we are very blessed to have him in that. We love him. I mean, so I just wanted to make sure to include him with y'all. Thanks.
If anyone else want to come up and pray with Randy and Trish, are welcome to come up and show our support for them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We appreciate it so much.
I know Randy didn't really emphasize the step of faith that they're taking. You know, he's not preaching. He doesn't have a steady income from that now. And so we live in a real world. It takes money. It takes things to survive. So.
And if you do decide to write a check, it's would be to Abounding Grace or the Lord's Abounding Grace. But in the memo, would just be Souls Ministry. Souls Ministry.
Abounding Grace, Souls Ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't have all of our
right.
Legal stuff done.
Yeah.
That's right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, dear Lord God, for Randy and Trish, dear Lord God. We just praise you for their ministry, dear Lord God. We praise you for the gift of evangelism that you indwelled them with, dear Lord God. And we just praise you for their heartache for the lost souls in the world. We just pray, dear Lord God, that you be with them and guide and direct them and bless them in their ministry.
Thank you, Jesus.
We just pray, dear Lord God, that you will be with them, give them the prayer support and the financial support they need, dear Lord God. And
amen.
Just be with them and Micah and guide and direct them, dear Lord God. Pray that you build a hedge around them and protect them from all evil in harm's way, dear Lord God. That you